If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts, the 27th chapter. We'll be looking at this entire chapter this morning. And the title of the message is Safety in the Storms of Life. Safety in the Storms of Life. Now, in this chapter, in Acts 27, we find Paul now sailing from Caesarea to Rome, where he is to be appear before Caesar. If you remember, he appealed before Caesar, and Festus said to Caesar, "You will go," and now then the time has come, and he's sailing to Rome. And everything seems to be going well on this voyage. The Lord has sent Luke and Aristarchus, which were fellow laborers of Paul. He sent them with him so that he would have fellowship on his journey. The Lord gave him this centurion named Julius, who favored Paul and allowed him liberty among his friends. And so everything was going well until they came to Crete. Now, Crete is a small island, and it's a harbor where they were set to winter. You cannot sail during these times. At the time the Apostle Paul lived, there was no compass, or there was nothing but stars and moon and so forth to guide you. And when the winter came, you couldn't do anything as far as sailing. So they were wintering there in Crete. And Paul said when they got to this place, the haven of rest there, they got to this harbor. Paul said, "We should stay here. I have a word from the Lord. We should stay here and winter here." And the centurion believed the sailor instead of Paul. And so they would harbor about 40 or 50 miles along the coast of Crete at another harbor. They figured, what could go wrong? Why listen to this man who's a prisoner? We're a sailor. We know what we're doing, and we're just going to stay close to the shore and go to the opposite side here of Crete and winter. Then the scripture tells us that a northeasterner came in and blew them away from the coast. They couldn't get back. And so the sailors, they started throwing all their stuff overboard. They saw a little island and said, "Hey, let's go for there." They couldn't make it, and so they put up the sails and just let it drift. Well, they were adrift for 14 days, with no moon, no stars, no sun to guide them. They were lost. The Apostle Paul then stood up and he told him, "I've told you we should have stayed. I told you we should have stayed there, but you didn't listen. And now here we are. But don't worry, because the Lord has appeared to me and said everyone would be safe as long as you stay in the ship." And as we find out, they came to this island, and sure enough, the boat was destroyed, but everyone survived. Now, that's the history lesson from Acts chapter 27. But I'm not going to stop there. You could have done that yourself. And anyone that has an atlas and a little time to read this chapter, you don't need the history of this. We know that the scriptures are given, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and this scripture is no different. This scripture is no different. We know that the sea many times is a metaphor for a picture of life's journey to our desired haven of rest. We know that. Job says this in Job 9. He says, "For now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away, they see no good. They are passed away as swift ships." Now, is that not true? Is that not true of our life? They just pass away as swift ships on the sea of life. And this sea of life, many times for us, is calm, isn't it? Sometimes we have moments of peace. From the time that Paul sailed from Caesarea to Crete, it was a peaceful journey. And sometimes we have storms. sometimes we have troubles. And this life, this sea of life, is a troublesome place. It's a dangerous place. If you go out to sea and you're to be a sailor, you know one thing that they cannot do is they cannot tell you when those squalls are coming up. They just come up all of a sudden. Many times there are many troubles in life that just come up all of a sudden. And you can't help that. Friends, we're on a dangerous life. It's a life of grief and pain and suffering here in this world. And we know this. And friends, what can give us comfort in the midst of storms and what can give us peace even in the times of calm is the same thing. It is the Word of God. The Word of God is our rock. The Word of God is our anchor for our souls. Because the Word of God is Christ. Is Christ our Savior. And if we're to survive, if we're to arrive safe on heaven's shore, we must anchor ourselves in the book. We must anchor ourselves in Christ. He must be everything. Now there are several things that God has given us to teach us about how to be safe in these storms of life. And I want us to see this in four parts. Break this down into four parts for us. First of all, I want us to see a plan. These sailors had a plan. They had a plan. Second of all, I want us to see a storm that came up. Then I want us to see a new plan. They had a new plan after the storm. And third, safety from the storm. A new plan. And fourth, safety from the storm. First of all, a plan. Verses 1 through 8, these sailors had a plan, didn't they? They planned to sail from Caesarea to Rome with no problems. That's what their plan was. Their plan was to sail and have no problems. And it was going just fine until they got to Crete. And, you know, I had to look this up in an atlas. I thought this was very interesting. Where they had harbored, where they docked, they stayed there for a little while. And Paul said, God said we should winter here. And the sailor said, no, we have a plan. It's not a good place to winter here. We want to winter just up the coast at another place. And on the atlas, it's 160 mile island. It's not very long at all. But the place that they were sailing from and to was only like 40 miles. Not very far. They said, what could go wrong? What possibly could happen? Why would you tell us to winter at this place? We don't want to be here. We want to be over there. It's better. It's better. But the best laid plans of mice and men are destroyed when it goes contrary to God's Word. Isn't that true? It doesn't matter how good the plan is. If it goes contrary to what God says, it is not a good plan. It is not a good plan. And we can and should make plans. There's nothing wrong with making plans. But every plan should be submitted to the Word of God. We must say, if we're going to do this or do that, what does God say about that? What does God say? Friends, we are free as Christians to do what we will. But I'll tell you this, if it goes contrary to God's Word, you're not free to do that. You're not free to do that. Oh, you can. And many times we do. But that's not always going to be expedient. We should say, if we go here or there, as James said, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this. Anything else is evil. That's what James says. Believer, following God's Word, I'll tell you, is going to be costly. It's going to be costly. It's going to demand of us sacrifices. That's what God's Word is going to demand of each and every one of us. Sacrifices. We may sacrifice our plans, our dreams, our hopes, and it may cost us money, time, energy, it may cost us loved ones, it doesn't matter. But I'll tell you, if we don't follow God's Word, in the end it's going to cost us more. Always. Always. The storms of life are not always according to our plans, are they? Who plans for a storm? Who plans for that? Nobody. We have this plan and it looks beautiful in our minds and we say, yeah, that's good, that's reasonable, I could do that. There's nothing wrong with that. And God says, yes, there is. I said, don't go. I said, don't go. It's going to cost us. And you know what the greatest storm that a man will ever face in this life is? His own sin. Our sin is the greatest storm that we ever face. When the Word of God comes to a sinner's heart, doesn't it blow contrary to the plans of the flesh? The plans of the flesh are always against God. But when God came to us, there was a storm that blew in our hearts. And we were terrified when we found out that our sin was against God. We found the terror of the Lord. The Scripture says, God is jealous. The Lord revengeth and is furious. He won't let the wicked go. When we found that out, was that not a storm? And how many times when we sin against our God, is it still not a storm? Is it still not troublesome to our hearts? I'll tell you, if sin is not troublesome to your heart, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Paul said this to Timothy, holding fast a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. Believer, let us hold fast to God's Word and not forsake the doctrine of faith. Let us hold fast to the haven of a good conscience. A good conscience. So that we not make shipwreck of the faith and prove our profession to be a lie. If any man in the storm of conviction, let him flee to Christ for refuge. He's the only safe harbor from storms. Isaiah 4:6 says, there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime and from the heat, and for a place of refuge and a covert from the storm and from the rain. Who is the refuge? Christ. Christ is our refuge. Let us cast all our plans and hopes upon Christ and hold fast to Him no matter what. Second of all, the storm. In verses 9 through 14, now we have the storm come. In verses 9 through 14, we have the storm coming. This storm here arose from their disobedience. Had they been in the storm if they would have heeded God's Word? No. They would have been in the harbor. They would have been safe had they heeded God's Word. Now it's clear that not all storms are because of sin. We know that. Not all storms are because of sin. But I tell you this, most of our storms are because of disobedience. Most of them come to us because we are not following God's Word. We are not obeying God's revealed will. Sometimes we say like these sailors, I know what's best for my ship. Well, who are you to tell me what's best for me? Preacher, you have no idea about my circumstances. You have no idea about my life or what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to do something here. And I can't do that if I have to listen to the Word of God. As when some forsake worship. Some forsake worship because they have plans, right? They have other things. It's important. It's important to them. They say, well, you know, I know where I should be, but I have other things that are needful. These things are necessary. I'll stay close to the shore. I'll stay close to Christ. But I just have to move away for a little bit. They move away and leave off reading or studying or prayer. And they say, I'm not going away far. I'll be close. I'll come every once in a while. But I must forsake it just for a little time. I tell you that is the course of all apostates. You realize that? That leaving off worship, prayer, and study is the course of every apostate in history. Everyone who has professed faith in Christ and has gone away and made shipwreck of the faith, they have all taken this same course. To leave off the Word of God and worship. That's the same course. And this is a course that will never lead back to Christ as long as the sailing is smooth. As long as they have a smooth course to go away, as long as their conscience doesn't conflict them, as long as there's no struggle in their breast, this is the course of every apostate and no one will ever come back from it unless there's a storm. How many times have we went away from the Word of God and God brought the storm to bring us back? The only difference between me and any apostate was that He brought the storm. The apostates, He doesn't bring the storm. There's no storm for them. They're smooth sailing away from the shore. True faith in Christ, friends, is evidenced by obedience to the Word of God, no matter our feelings, no matter our logic, and no matter our reasoning for doing so. We must always trust the Lord. Proverbs 3:5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall" what? "Direct your paths." Trust in the Lord and be obedient to Him, lest He send storms of grief and chastisement upon us. When God's children are disobedient, they should expect storms. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Friends, if we depart from the Word of God, if we depart from obedience in Christ, and all is well, then you are found to be bastards and not sons. God loves and chastens every child He'll save. And He does this by the storms of life. He does this through the divine providence in this life. They had a plan. Their plan was contrary to the Word of God, and God in grace sent a storm. Now, number 3, a new plan. A new plan. A new plan. Verses 15. Verse 15 through verse 20. 15 through 20. The first new plan that they had was surrender. Look at that in verse 15. "Looking diligently..." I got it on the wrong page. Verse 15. "And when the ship was caught, and they could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." Here was a new plan. They came up, the wind came up, and it blew them back. They saw that little island. We said, "We're going to make for that." They started throwing everything overboard they could find. Everything that weighed them down, and they started trying to row and get to that little island, and the more they rowed, the wind blew them back further. They couldn't do anything, and the ship was about to break apart. The only thing they could do was throw up their sails and let it ride. Let it ride. Here's the first new plan in the storm. Surrender. Surrender in the storm. Surrender. Believer, when our plans are contrary to the will of God And when we've been found to be unfaithful to Christ, when the storm arises, this is the new plan. Let it ride. Let it ride. Surrender to the wind. And this is not fatalism. These men did everything they could. And friends, we should do everything we can. We should do all that we can to stay near Christ. We should do all we can to worship Christ. Many times in the storms, we must surrender to the winds of God's providence. Believer, our sin sometimes leads us to dark places and dark consequences. God says, oh yeah, you want that? Here you go. That's what you want. There it is. Oh, what a chastisement when God gives us what we want. David, he got what he wanted, didn't he? He said, I want that woman. And he had her. And he said, I want to hide this. I'm going to kill him. Kill Uriah. And he had that. And when he found out his sin, the storm began to brew. And God says, thy sin hath been put away, but I will not put away the consequences. David lost 3 sons. And he lost his kingdom. And worst of all, he lost the ability to come and worship God. Psalm 84. Look at there. Look at what David's words were in Psalm 84. Psalm 84 in verse 1, it says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. This is when David was in the wilderness and not able to come to worship. He says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King, my God, blessed are they that dwell in thine house. They shall be still praising thee. Friends, when David was cast out, it's then he realized what he missed the most. He missed worship. He surrendered to God's providence, and God's providence drove him away from the very thing that he needed the most. He was like these sailors in the middle of that ocean. They had no compass. They had no guide. They had no stars and no sun and no moon. They couldn't figure out where they were. And sometimes a storm blows us into these dark places. These dark places. So that David even envied the birds in God's house. How many times have we left God's church for someone or something and spent years in grief and sorrow, missing all that time of worship and praise? I know many men have come back after many years and they've been very sorrowful. They've missed out on so much. Because they would not heed the word of God. Friends, yield to the Spirit of God. Let us say, thy will be done, no matter the cost. It would be wise for us to realize that both the ship and the storm are in the hands of God. Our little vessel on this big sea of life is in the hand of God, and the sea itself is in His hands. And He does with us as He pleases. It is best to throw up the sails and let it ride. It is in Christ alone that we can find peace in this storm. He alone can say, peace, be still, and quiet our storms with a word. Therefore, in the storm, take His yoke and find peace in your heart. You may not find peace around you, but you'll find peace in your heart if you take His yoke. Take His yoke. Believer, open your sails and follow along wherever God's divine providence provides, yielding to Him and serving Him in every way, and you shall find peace. For all things work together for our good. Number two, the second part of this plan is heed God's word. Surrender and then heed God's word, verses 21 to 25. This is the time that Paul stands up and he says, I told you so. I like that. Paul says, I told you, if you would have just listened to me, we would have been back there and not here. But we're here. When you sin, friends, you can't go back and change it. You can't make the past something it's not. But what you can do is flee to Christ. You can now, at this moment, at this time, heed His word. Heed His word. Hear God's word and God's man. That's what you can do. Avail yourself at all times to God's word. In study. In private study. In private prayer. Spend time taking heed to His word. And avail yourself always to His message. Take heed to what He says. And friends, you won't find yourself in that many messes. We would just heed His word. Friends, there is forgiveness to all who repent and confess their sins to Christ. Every believer that repents, every believer that confesses his sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Paul, as every gospel preacher says, come and hear the voice of Christ, for he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Is that not a good message to hear? Yes, it is for me. Number three, the third part of this plan is stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. Verses 26 through 38, Paul tells them, he says, God came to me. Christ came to me, and he says, everybody who stays in the ship will be saved. Many times people, because of trouble, because of trials, are rash and try to make it to God by their own means. Some see the land and make for the lifeboats of their free will, works religion, and self-righteousness. God said, don't take the lifeboats, stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. All who remain in the ship shall be saved, and if anyone is outside the ship, they will be destroyed. Friends, all who remain in Christ until the end, the same shall be saved. A man may face many storms in this life and sincerely obey Christ, but if he's rash to abandon Christ for his righteousness and religion, he'll be dashed upon the rocks of God's wrath. Believer, stay in the ship. And I'll tell you, as this ship hit the ground, hit that rock, it was broken. But everyone that was in the ship lived. Were we not in Christ when He was broken? Were we not in the ship of Christ when He was broken for us on the cross by the rocks of God's wrath? Of course. Believer, we were in Christ when He was broken for us, and all who are in Him shall reach a safe haven. Cut the lifeboats of all your self-righteousness and religion and hold on to the ship. Hold on to Christ. Hold on to Christ. Number four, safety from the storm. All who were faithful to remain in the ship, some of them swam and some of them floated, but all of them made it. And I thought of this, some believers at death are strong to swim to the shore. I've read this in Fox's Book of Martyrs, this man named John Rogers, and I won't forget it. He would not recant his faith in Christ, and the church lined up his family along the road to his death, and his children there begging him, "Please, Daddy, please don't go." And this man set his face to the fire and he would not be moved. This man swam. This man was strong in his death. Strong to meet Christ. And some of us float on big planks of boards and feel comfortable in our death, and some hold on little pieces. Some are very scared in death. But you know what? The person with the little piece made it just as much as the person that swam. They all had Christ, and they all made it. Friends, cast off everything and hold on to Christ. Obey His Word. Heed Him. Heed His Word. Surrender to His will, no matter what it costs you. And friends, we will be safe in every storm. In every storm. Praise God. I thank You for this. God bless it. We're dismissed.